couple of days we've been talking about Hilchos Aninos. Let's try to segue a little bit into Inyanei Chanukah, because we're on our way to the celebration of Chanukah. Let's try to put together Aninos and Chanukah. So what happens when you have somebody who is an Onen and they have to light Chanukah candles? So as we know, we spoke the last couple of days that an Onen is not supposed to perform any mitzvahs, whether it's a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan. We assume an Onen does not perform. So the Nesivos has a sitter. The Nesivos was one of the great Gedolim. He was the Av Beis Din in Lisa, which was a big community in Poland. He was the great-grandchild of the Chacham Tzvi. He lived in the 1700s. So the Nesivos writes in his sitter, the Derech HaChaim, Onen Shemesel Mutalafanav, when you have an Onen who is in that period of time when they're waiting to bury their relative, Yadlik Ner Chanukah Al Yidei Acher. They should have somebody else perform the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah on their behalf. V'hu Yivarech V'ha'onen Yane Amen. And that other person should make the bracha, and the Onen will answer Amen. Now, this is very problematic, because we don't find that a person in the state of Aninos should go ahead and have somebody else make all the brachas for them, and they'll answer Amen. We don't find that an Onen should have somebody else bench for them and say Kriya Shema for them, and they'll listen along. We say an Onen is not obligated at all. So why should Neres Chanukah be any different? This is a very problematic statement of the Nesivos. And let's try to figure out why he might have said what he said. So the beginning of the story is as follows. We have a Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. And based on this, we're going to try to explain why the nature of Neres Chanukah might be different than many other mitzvahs that the Onen is not supposed to perform. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos as follows. Chatzer sheyesh bas shnei psachim. When you have a chatzer, when you have somebody's home that has two different entrances, two different psachim, Tzricha Beis Neros. We assume that on Chanukah you have to light the menorah on one end and also on the other end. You have to light the menorah on both entrances to the house because you have people passing by on both sides. Why? Says the Gemara, Dezilmin Demichlefi Bahai Velo Michlefi Bahai. Sometimes you're going to have people who only walk by or drive by on this side of the street, and they're not going to drive by on the other side of the street. And the Gemara is concerned maybe people are going to start getting suspicious. How come Schechter's house doesn't have a menorah? After all, it is Chanukah. So they don't know that on the other side of the house I did light. All they see is that on this side of the house, where I have an entrance to the house from the other side, they're driving by and they don't see my menorah, so it's going to lead people to wonder, maybe Schechter is not keeping the mitzvah of menorah the way he's supposed to. Now, so we have this concept that the Gemara says that you have to light the second set of Chanukah candles because we're concerned, mipnei hachashad, because we're concerned somebody is going to be suspicious that maybe you're not doing the mitzvah. So the Ran points out there, mistavra, says the Ran, the only reason why I'm lighting on that second entrance is not because I have a mitzvah based on the mitzvah of Chanukah candles to light in both places. No, my Chanukah candles I already took care of the first time I lit. The only reason I'm lighting on the second way is that people shouldn't say bad things about me. Says the Ran, therefore, lo mevarech ela achad pischa. You don't make a bracha on the second doorway, because the second doorway is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. The second doorway that I'm lighting at is only to take away from the people who are going to start spreading rumors about Schechter. So that's why the Ran says whenever you're performing a mitzvah of that nature, which just to take away from what people are going to suspect, you don't recite a bracha on a mitzvah of that nature. And this is the way the Rama paskins as well in Hilchos Chanukah, Siman Tuf Reish Ayin Aleph. Says that Maharil Diskin writes, so what's going to happen? You have an Onen who's in his house, and everybody's going to walk by the house and say, not everybody knows that this person just lost a relative. People are driving by, they see a mezuzah on the door, they're going to say, hey, look at this house. Why don't they have a menorah lit? So says the Maral Diskin, even though an Onen is pater from performing all the mitzvahs, the Onen has to make sure that he lights Chanukah candles. Why does he have to light Chanukah candles? Because here, you have that added dimension. We're not telling you to perform the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. For that, you would be pater. The same way you don't say Kriya Shema, the same way you don't daven, the same way you don't do anything else. But because over here there's an added dimension, there's an added concern of the fact that somebody's going to be suspicious when they drive by the house and they're not going to see the candles lit, therefore the Maharil Diskin argues that this is why Chanukah candles might be the exception to the rule, and the Onen should go ahead, if there's no one else to light on their behalf in the house, they should go ahead and light on their own. However, he writes, the Onen certainly would not make a bracha. Why? Because this bracha, the Ran writes, you don't make a bracha when you're only fulfilling a mitzvah that's because of Maris Ayin. If you're only doing a mitzvah to take away from people's suspicions, you don't make a bracha. So therefore the Onen lights the Chanukah candles but doesn't make a bracha. This is what the Maharil Diskin suggests. He was one of the great Gedolim in Yerushalayim. And this is a discussion that's been had by many, many Achronim that came later on. But the question is this really the case, Bizman Hazeh? Do we really follow this psak of the Maharil Diskin? Do we really follow the psak that the Derech HaChaim, that the Nesivos gave, that an Onen should make sure that they light Chanukah candles or have a Shliach do it on their behalf? Is this really the psak? So the question is, why would it change nowadays? What should have changed? So we look at the Gemara that says as follows. We have a Gemara Maseches Shabbos there as well, when the Gemara is discussing all the halachas of Chanukah. It says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah, the real place to put the Neres Chanukah is La'anicha al Pesach Beis Mibachutz. The real place to light the Neres Chanukah is at the doorway to your home on the outside, not the way we do it now. You're really supposed to put it on the outside of the home. Im Hayadar Ba'aliyah, what if I don't live on a ground floor, so I can't put it outside? So then the Gemara says, Manicha bechalon hasmucha l'rishas harabim. You put it by the window in which people from the outside, from the street, can see it. However, says the Gemara, Bishas hasakana. Let's say you live at a time where you're nervous that people shouldn't see your Hanukkah menorah. You don't want a pogrom. You don't want them to start up with you. Manicha al shulchano. In a case like that, says the Gemara, you have a right to do it in the middle of your dining room table, in the middle of your living room, even though it's not by a window, it's not by the doorway. The Gemara assumes that in a shas hasakana, the rules change. So nowadays, we know our practice is that we light inside the house. We don't even try. There's no sakana nowadays. We're not in any danger. We go ahead and we light the menorah inside of our homes, and we're not careful to go and light it outside, even though that's the real halacha. You're supposed to light it by the doorway to your home. So again, if you live in a certain community where you have a concern that someone's going to come and make trouble because you have a Hanukkah menorah is one thing. But over here, where we live in a free country, and we're very blessed to practice our religion the way we choose, and we're not embarrassed to wear a yarmulke outside, and we're not afraid of anybody. So in a case like that, in our community, why are we not lighting outside? And yet the Ramah says, in Hilchos Chanukah Ha'idna, Noagin Lahadlik Bifnim. Nowadays, everybody has the practice to light inside, even though we don't have a sakana. And this would seem to be the practice of the Rishonim already. The Rosh and the Ran and the Rif and the Tosis and all the Bali Rishonim, right? That they all used to light inside. It's hard to imagine that all of them lived at a time there was such sakana, there was such oppression, there was so many concerns of pogroms. So, you see already from the times of the Rishonim that this became the practice. Why it's the case is not exactly clear, even though it's not a sakana nowadays, we really should have been doing the other way, but the Ramah writes that this is our practice, this is what we do. Based on that, says the Ramah, since Bizman Azeh Kula Madlikim Mifnim, since nowadays we all light inside of our homes, and we really don't have to light at the doorway at all, whether it's justified or not is not the point, but therefore, says the Ramah, the whole concern of Chashad doesn't apply anymore. What are you going to say? Someone's going to drive by your house and say, ah, look, I don't see the menorah lit there. They're not going to have that concern because nowadays we light inside the house. We don't light at the doorpost, so nobody's driving by. Now, you'll say, ah, we still light by the window.
Even worse, doesn't Shabur say that if you're awake for a night, you should still have to drive away and have some light in case someone drives by and doesn't see a menorah that doesn't...
So the Ramah says that Me'ikar Adin, really, this whole halacha of Chashad really doesn't apply. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman takes it a little further. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, back in the times of Chazal, what happened? In the times of Chazal, when the night set in, when it was dark outside, nobody was on the street. Maybe an extra 20, 30 minutes while there was still a little bit of light outside, but that was it. After it got very dark, that was it. And that's where the shear of 30 minutes comes from for your Hanukkah candles. So he says, nowadays, when people are going to the movies and they're going to a baseball game and they're going to a wedding and everyone's in and out and they're coming home at 12 o'clock at night, so you can't say that anyone's going to drive by your house and say, oh, look, they didn't light Hanukkah candles. What do you mean? You're coming home from a wedding 12 o'clock at night. Maybe I lit Hanukkah candles at 4:30 in the afternoon or 5 o'clock. So nobody says, Rav Shlomo Zalman, nowadays, we don't have this concern of maybe someone's going to drive by your house and be concerned that maybe he'll light the Hanukkah candles. This whole issue of Chashad really is unlikely nowadays because, number one, we don't light outside, like the Ramah says, and number two, even though we light by the window, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, and we try to do the Pesumei Nisa, we try to have people seeing that it is Hanukkah. But the bottom line is, everybody lights at a different time. People coming from work 7:30, 8 o'clock. By the time they're coming home from work, the people who lit at 4:35, their candles are already out. And those who light at 7:38, their candles are out at 11. So the guy who comes home from a wedding, his candles are going to be lit at the time that nobody else is lit. So nobody has any more a chashash of this issue of Maris Ayin as much as they used to. And therefore, perhaps, I was talking to my father yesterday and they argued that nowadays, this psak of the Maral Diskin and of the Nesivas, that an Onin should go ahead and make sure that they light, even though the Onin is Patur Mikala Mitzvah, so the Maral Diskin says the Onin has to make sure to light Hanukkah candles as well. Why? In order not to get involved in the Chashad. Nowadays, the whole Chashad is not relevant. Nowadays, that we assume, just because I have two sides of my house, I don't have to go and light a menorah on both sides. That's what Shlomo Zalman assumes, simply, that we don't have to do that nowadays, even though there are people who drive by my house on peninsula, and other people who drive by on forest. And yet, nobody's going to think, maybe you didn't light, because they assume you lit on the other side, or you lit earlier, or you lit later. So therefore, my father agreed that we would argue nowadays that an Onin really does not have to light Hanukkah candles at all, because we assume it's a mitzvah like any other, and there's no reason to make him go ahead and do so, as opposed to any other mitzvah that he's not performing at that period in time. Perhaps there is one other reason. One can approach this question from a very, very different angle. And if you approach it from this angle, maybe there's another argument to make why an Onen should have to light the Hanukkah candles, and let's go through that as follows. This is based on the Chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda was Rabbi Cheska Landau, also one of the great Gedolim from the 1700s, the Av Beis Din of Prague. Noda B'Yehuda was well known for his Tshuvas Noda B'Yehuda and for his commentary on the side of Shulchan Aruch, the Dagal Mervava. So the Noda B'Yehuda comments on a Gemara in Brachos Daf Yates. The Gemara says very interestingly, Harei Shehaya Holech Lishchores Pischo. Let's say someone's on their way to go Shech the Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach. V'lamalas b'no, or you're going to do a bris milah on your child. V'shama shameis lameis. And all of a sudden you hear that you're an onen. Rachmana litzlan, one of your close family members passes away, but you're on the way to Yerushalayim to go and perform the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So the Gemara goes through a whole thing, what are you supposed to do? So ask the Acharonim, what do you mean, what are you supposed to do? You're an onen, you're not allowed to do a mitzvah. We paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you're not allowed to even perform the mitzvah, even if you choose to volunteer to do so. While a person is in the status of aninus, you're not supposed to do anything. You don't make brachas, you don't put on tefillin, you don't volunteer to do anything. You're supposed to be so focused on burying the nifter and make sure the proper kavod ames is displayed when this person is buried. So why is it that the Gemara goes through a whole discussion? Well, if I'm on my way to Shechter Karban Pesach and I happen to get the distressing news that somebody passed away, all of a sudden I have to drop everything I'm doing, or maybe not. What kind of discussion is it? Why don't you say he's an onen? He's not allowed to do the mitzvah the same way you're not allowed to do any other mitzvah. So this boils down to the Chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda says the following. What happens when you have somebody who's in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer loses a relative? So what's going to be? If you're going to miss that night of Sfiras HaOmer because you're in Aninus and you're not going to count Sfira that night, then you're going to be out the rest of the Sfira. You're not going to be able to count for the duration of the Sfiras HaOmer. So says the Noda B'Yehuda. The only time we say that an onen is not supposed to perform a mitzvah is when the mitzvah is relevant for now. For example, davening shachris. Now he's an onen, he doesn't daven shachris. It's not going to affect his day later. Davening mincha, he's an onen, he doesn't daven mincha. Putting on tefillin today, he doesn't put on tefillin. But says the Noda B'Yehuda, we're not doing something now during his aninus is going to affect something later on after the aninus is over. For example, Sfiras HaOmer. If he abstains from counting Sfira tonight because of his aninus, he's not going to be able to continue to count the rest of the days of Sfira with a bracha because he missed one night. So says the Noda B'Yehuda, in a case like that, he should count Sfira that night in order not to ruin the mitzvah that's going to continue after the aninus is completed. That's the Chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach picks up on that and he says, well, what would be the case on the last night of Sfira? Let's say the 49th day of Sfira, someone loses a relative. Even if you accept the Chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda, maybe you'd say that's only if it's in the middle. But once you're up to the last night, you no longer lose anything. Maybe we should say, really, in that case, the onen shouldn't count. Okay, interesting. Maybe we'll talk about it Sfiras HaOmer time, but this is the Chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda, that when you have a mitzvah that comes up in the time of aninus, and it's going to have repercussions later on after the aninus is completed, in a case like that, says the Noda B'Yehuda, you don't abstain from doing the mitzvah because it's going to ruin what you want to do later on after the burial is already completed, after the levaya already happened. Take for another example, the Shari Tshuva talks about what happens on Erev Pesach. Sometimes you can have somebody who's an onen on Erev Pesach. You have a levi on Erev Pesach. So what are you going to tell him? He's an onen on Leil Yudalid, and he's supposed to be doing Bedikas Chametz. What are you going to tell him? You're not allowed to do Bedikas Chametz? What's going to be? Now he's going to come tomorrow, right after levi, he's not going to have a chance to check his house. It's already, the Chametz is already usher. His house is all full of Chametz. What are you going to tell him? He shouldn't do Bedika, and now he should go into Pesach, violating the Avera Bayuera Bayimatzah. You can't assume such a thing. And therefore, the Shari Tshuva and others suggest, based on the Chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda, that Bedikas Chametz would be the same thing. Of course the Onen has to go ahead and do the Bedika, or make sure that somebody else does it on his behalf, because we have to make sure that it's not going to ruin his mitzvah later. He has a mitzvah of Pesach that he has to fulfill, and if you're going to tell him to hold back from doing the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, he's not going to be able to perform the mitzvah of Pesach properly. And similarly, that's what the Acharonim write with regard to that Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, someone's on their way to go and shech the Karban Pesach, and they find out the terrible news that a close relative passed away. What should they do? The Gemara wants to know, what should they do? So the Acharonim asks, what do you mean, what should they do? An onen is an onen, you're not allowed to do it. It's true that an onen is an onen, but if I don't go ahead and shech my Karban Pesach now, I'm out for the rest of Pesach, I'm out for the night of the Seder. So this is like the Chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda. Maybe we should tell the person, go ahead, continue to shech the Karban Pesach, forget about the onen status that you have right now, take care of the mace a little bit later, but right now you have a mitzvah that you have to do. If you don't tend to the mitzvah, you're going to lose out even after the aninus is completed. So that's the Chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda. How does that tie into Hanukkah? So listen to this, and with this we'll close. The Rogatchever was a tremendous gaon. The Rogatchever wrote the Sefer Tzafnas Paneach. He was an incredible genius, an unbelievable personality. And sometimes my father says, you know, when you have geniuses, they come up with genius kind of ideas, and they're not always accepted. So here's one of those ideas that is not accepted, but it's an interesting thought to consider. The Ragachev Ergon writes that all the nights of Chanukah are considered to be one long mitzvah. And that's why the Gemara says, Mosev HaHolech. Every night you have to add on to the candles that you lit the night before. So, night one, you light one. Night two, you're Mosif on top of what you lit the night before. So now you light two. Night three, you're going to be Mosif, you add a third, onto the two that you already had from the night before. Therefore, argues the Ragachev Ergon, again a tremendous chiddush, but he says, what if you have a ger, shenes gayer, in the middle of Chanukah? What if you have a ger that becomes a convert on night three of Chanukah? It just so happens to be, that's when they have time, that's when he wants to do it, that's when it worked out. What does he do now? So, how can you say he's Mosef Aholech? How can you tell him, well, it's night three, you have to add on one candle to the two you lit the night before. You didn't light anything the night before. You weren't Jewish. And even if he lit the night before as a non-Jew, that doesn't count. He's not Jewish, so you can't say that's a continuation of what he did before. So the Tzafnas Paneach, the Ragachev Ergon argues, maybe you should say that if a person sees themselves in a situation like this, for example, a Gersh and his Geir in the middle of Chanukah, we should say they cannot light on the third night or the fourth night or the fifth night of Chanukah because they already missed the beginning. That's the chiddush of the Ragachever, similar to Sfiras HaOmer. Menchas Chinuch discusses what happens if you have somebody who's Megayer in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer. So what do you say? They pick up on day 35, they pick up on day 36. That's not a count. If you miss the first 35 days, you can't just pick up in the middle and say, now this is a continuation. So the Ragachever wants to suggest that that's the same by Hanukkah as well. If you didn't do the night before, you can't do the following night that comes after the night before either. And based on that, you might say that by an onin as well, if they miss one night of Chanukah candles because of the fact that they happen to be in aninos, maybe you should say, that's going to ruin it going forward as well. And the same way the Noda Behuda argues that you should do the bedikas chametz in aninos. And the Noda Behuda argues that you should go ahead and count svira during aninos because it's going to mess you up going forward. Maybe he would argue as well that you have to light the Chanukah candles during aninos. Not because of chashad amarasayin. We're not concerned about that anymore. But rather because we're concerned that if you don't light tonight, you're going to miss the rest of Chanukah. You're not going to be able to continue because you missed the count. You missed the Mosef HaOlech. So basically, maybe that would be a reason to say that an Onein should go ahead and light the Chanukah candles even in the status of Aninas, but for very obvious reasons, this is absolutely not accepted. I was talking to Rav Asher Weiss yesterday and I mentioned him this Tzafnas Paneach. He said he never heard of it and he said not everything that the Achronim say has to be mentioned and not everything that the Achronim say has to be dealt with. He didn't mean to be mevaze the Tzafnas Paneach, chas v'shalom. All he meant to say is nowadays, he said, in the days of the internet where we can find a shita that says anything, you can look up online and find anybody that says anything, it doesn't mean that we have to deal with it seriously. It doesn't mean that it's something we have to consider. So you found the Tzafnas Paneach very nice, but it's not something that's accepted at all on many counts. Number one, when we say Mosef HaHolech in the Gemara, really, strictly speaking, had you lit one candle every night of Chanukah, you fulfill your strict obligation of Chanukah. So you can't say that Mosef HaHolech, just because you're supposed to add on every night, it doesn't mean that if you're not able to add on, it doesn't mean that it discredits everything you've done up until now. Many other reasons why this is really not accepted, this Tzafnas Paneach, but either way, my father agreed that nowadays he felt that an Onein should not go ahead and light the Chanukah candles. If they have someone else in the house to light, let them go ahead and light on behalf of the Onein and on behalf of the family. But if there's no one else in the house, the person, Rachmana Litzlan, lives by themselves for whatever reason, and they're going through a terrible loss like that, we would assume that an Onein should not go ahead and light the Chanukah candles. They'll miss it. The same way they miss the davening, the same way they miss tefillin, they miss everything else. So too they should miss this as well.